Fairfax staff will be informed today of the company's plans to overhaul its newsrooms as part of a major restructure. This comes as News Corp considers splitting its global newspaper and entertainment divisions into separate businesses. The key to the future for both media companies is to stop giving away their content for free online, and that means building a paywall. The maths of this is so clear that many media watchers are calling 2012 the year of the paywall. By the end of the year, it's estimated more than 30% of US newspapers will have one, and dozens of European papers have also made the move. Our reporter Madeline Jenner investigates.
A few years ago, the conversation was focused on whether we would see paywalls across mainstream newspapers. Now that discussion has moved from if to when. And while a number of publications, particularly in the business press, have been using paywalls for years, there's one success story that everyone is talking about.
The early paywall experiments were too restrictive and didn't work very well. Newspapers were seeing on the order of less than 10% of their subscribers actually signing up for the online subscriptions. But I think the New York Times has cracked the code.
Paul Gillen is a US journalist and author of the blog NewspaperDeathWatch.com. For the last 5 years, his blog has been documenting the fall of US newspapers and the rise of online journalism.
Well, the New York Times can actually be, I think, quite successful with a paywall, and that's because they're the New York Times. We've seen in the third quarter revenues of 2011 that the Times reported, there was actually a milestone reached where their online revenues, including their paywall revenues and their online advertising, actually exceeded their newsroom costs, which means that the Times could technically go out of the print business entirely and still afford to put out a product that's comparable to what they're doing right now.
It is harder to find examples of metro papers or even smaller national papers that are using paywalls effectively. Ken Doctor is a US-based media analyst and author of the site Newsonomics. This week, he's been in Europe, where there are a couple of paywall success stories. He points to Sanoma, Finland's largest publisher. As the home of Nokia, they were quick to see the benefits of offering content for smartphones, setting up a paid digital service around 3 years ago.
They embraced this notion of all access, which is absolutely key to charging for what I call digital circulation. And that's have your experiences on the tablet and the smartphone and the computer be the best they can be. And then you say to your readers, especially your core readers who have read you for a long time in print, you say to them, we'll give you all access. We'll give you the paper. We'll give you access on every device you have. We'll tailor the experience as much as we can. And we'll just charge you one price. And, of course, it includes this and this and this. You can get a cheaper price, but you have to ask for it. Because of what they've done in Helsinki, they now have a third of their print subscribers who have paid extra every month for digital access.
We do, of course, already have a few paywalls here in Australia. The Herald Sun is trialling one. The Australian has one, and the Financial Review has had one for years. In fact, they've recently relaxed theirs a little. Andrew Birmingham is the CEO of Silicon Gully Investments and a former associate publisher of the Financial Review. While it is early days, he has been using the publicly available data to try and get a sense of how our local paywalls are faring.
First is the Nielsen data, which is the data that the advertisers use. And what that tells us for the Australian, first of all, is that since they introduced their paywall in, I think, November last year, they've had about a 25% reduction in average daily unique browsers, that is people going to the site each day, and about 35% reduction in their inventory, which is what they sell. Now, in reality, that's actually nowhere near as bad as what people would have anticipated, so they would be pretty happy with that outcome. With the Fin Review, obviously they've relaxed the paywall of their site. They've made it free for their newspaper subscribers who used to have to pay. And they've had a pretty big jump. So they've had probably about an 80% increase in unique browsers each day. What it hasn't done is help either of them with their print circulation. So the point of the exercise was to provide greater value add or greater impetus to buy up a bundle. The reality is that the print circulation of both products has fallen over that time, and that's part of a long-term trend. The reality is, in the current market conditions, those circulations would have fallen anyway.
Last week, Fairfax announced that the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age will use a similar metered model to the New York Times, offering a fixed amount of free content to all users. News Limited and News Corp overseas have always opted for a stricter paywall with free introductory offers. Ken Doctor says increasingly it's the metered model which is showing greater promise overseas.
90% of the sites that are putting up paywalls are putting up meters. And that's saying you get 20 or 10 or 5 free articles before you run into anything. You don't even know there's any kind of paywall there.
And presumably the metered model is also smart when it comes to the way we share content these days. Your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed is always full of newspaper articles. And if you're hitting a paywall every time you click on a link, then the links will just become completely redundant.
Exactly. And that's another part of this how, which is so important. So most of these papers that are put in the system say, if you come from Google or you come from Facebook or you come from Twitter, it probably won't count against your 10 or 15 page views. Some say, you know, the first three that come from Facebook won't count, and then others will. But this is a very flexible system, the metered system, if you do it right, and you can actually test and see how well you're doing. So you don't want to lose too much traffic and too many page views, and you want to maximize the money that you're getting.
And while there will always be some content online for free, newspaper publishers are no doubt hoping the situation will get easier as more publications move behind the paywall. Andrew Birmingham believes that 20 years from now, we'll look back in disbelief at a time when so much content was available for free. Paul Gillen says it's clear that paywalls are now inevitable.
I think that when you have people like Warren Buffett coming into the market, and Buffett has purchased 63 newspapers in the U.S. and has stated that he believes that they have to monetize their business in new ways, and he is committed to assigning value to news. I think when you have Murdoch declaring that all of his papers are going behind paywalls, and Gannett in the U.S. has done the same thing, I think you're seeing that the tide clearly is in this direction, and I think we're going to see basically all newspapers doing this within a short time. You know, whether it stops the bleeding, whether it saves the newspaper industry, I still think that's in doubt, but it's something that is turning into a revenue source that at least enables them to manage a transition to a digital model in a more rational manner.
That's Paul Gillen, former print journalist and author of the blog NewspaperDeathWatch.com. Ending that report, Madeline Jenner. And stay tuned today for more major announcements from the two of the key media groups in this country, News and Fairfax. There's a lot of restructuring going on. More announcements today by the sound of it. It's 17 minutes to 7.